The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
So it is. So it is. Welcome to it. It is a Thursday. You know, the days run together these days, as you know, because we're all stuck still inside, or you should be. If you're going out and acting like everything's normal, well, shame on you, because you should be inside. Anyway, welcome to a Thursday. You know what happens on Thursdays. Howie Klein joins us. And I got to say, boy, I screwed up this week. Because, you know, when Howie's been on the last month or so, we've been having candidates on. And he sent me an email Monday morning and suggested I contact this one candidate who's running for Congress from here in Florida. His name is Adam Christensen. And he's up in the Gainesville area. And I said, oh, sure, I'll do that. And so it was Monday. I think it was finally early yesterday morning when I finally sent him an email. But the emails that Howie gave me, two emails, one was his personal email address and one was office at something or other. And so I sent it to his personal address. But to make a long story not quite so long, it turns out that the candidate is running in Ted Yoho's soon to be vacant seat. Now, Ted Yoho, the piece of shit who cursed out Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, is not running for re-election. I guess he saw the writing on the wall. But we should have had Adam Christensen on today, but because he didn't hear from me and he didn't get the email I sent to his personal account, his office scheduled a whole bunch of stuff for him because everybody started bombarding them because of the Ted Yoho story. So Adam Christensen will not be joining me and Howie today, but he will be with us next week. Anyway, so there's that. I have so much to go through with you today. There's a lot of news from the Yoho story woman, man, camera, TV. Wow, even I got that right. Unbelievable. The president is a moron, but you knew that. So, again, so much to get to today. So let's start with a funny right away, because this one is actually kind of lengthy, but I think it's worth it. It's from the Holderness family. And I don't know, this guy must be a musician or some kind of performer, because he's very talented. Anyway, this is the Holderness family with If Yacht Rock Was 2020, or 2020 Yacht Rock Style. You know what yacht rock is, right? It's sort of light rock. It's, you know, Kenny Loggins and Michael McDonald and things like that. So, well, you'll get the idea. Here we go. It is the Holderness family. And, well, take it away, family.
Hi there. So this is what Yacht Rock would sound like if it were written this year. If you don't know what Yacht Rock is, you don't have to Google it. It's just, it's this. It's this type of feeling.
It's this. Okay.
I always go in line when I wake up in the morning and the cases rise. A Corona. I never thought that a simple chart could make me feel so sad. A Corona. Key change coming. Here we go. All I know now, if it doesn't go down, I am going to cry. A Corona, a Corona. Because then our kids won't go back to school and that'll be so sad. It's been half a year. You won't go away. Corona, yeah. Now it looks like you're here to stay. Please just go away. Corona, yeah. Please just go away. Corona, yeah. You wonder why I'm giving you the stink eye. What can I say?
Hall and Oates, baby. Yacht Rock.
Your kids are close to me and they're supposed to be 6 feet away.
start feeling sicker tonight. 'Cause they insist on touching their lips like this, and then touching my kids. They don't know what the corona is, and there is nothing you can do. But I am mad at you, because your kids on my list. Because your kids, they suck at social distance. Because your kids are rambunctious, that is not alright.
Alright, smooth it down. Oh yeah.
Summer's here, nothing to do. Camps are canceled, sports teams too.
Oh, Lionel Richie.
So my son stays in his socks, closes the door and plays Xbox. He's playing Roblox, Madden, the FIFA, the Fortnite, and NBA 2K. He is not running or jumping or eating or sleeping. He just does that all day and all night long. Fortnite.
Chicago time, baby. Here we go.
We are finally halfway through this awful
never gonna end.
I keep forgetting, is it the threat of true temper? I keep forgetting, is it
of all the things you've done?
I keep forgetting.
No.
It is offensive to Michael McDonald.
I'm not offended at Michael McDonald. No. Also, listen, what do you hear here?
All right, see, this is the problem with this
side on
family.
LBC, on a mission trying to find Mr.
They never have a good ending for their videos.
Who knew? It's more of a feeling. Like, you know it when you hear it.
Yeah.
We don't have a yacht.
Or any accoutrement that go with the yacht.
No.
No yacht pants. No yacht.
Hats?
Nope.
No, none of that. So let's all pretend we're on a yacht.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I hear Yamo be there.
If I hear Yamo be there one more time, I'm going to Yamo burn this place to the ground.
All right.
Name that movie.
Thanks for watching. Hi there.
The Holderness family is who they are. They do brilliant videos like this, and yes, they're quite talented, but they need to come up with an ending. This is the second one of their videos I played that didn't have an ending. It's kind of funny, but, you know, hey, good stuff anyway. The Holderness family. You can find them on a YouTube channel near you. Yeah, the Michael McDonald impression was a bit over the top, but I thought it was funny. Anyway, so much territory to cover today. We're just going to get to it. So I guess let's start with the news. Would help if I did this. All right. I'm not even going to bring Bill O'Reilly in today. He can just shut up because there is so much going on. And I don't know where to start, but I guess I should start with why do I have audio coming through? I should start with the hold on. Let me mute all of these things. And just in case some words bleeding through. OK, so. No, something is still coming through. Where is it coming from? That is weird. This is the problem when I have so many different audio inputs. I just got to mute everything. The big news today, well, there's a lot of news going on, but the thing that caught my attention today was this ongoing kerfuffle, if you will, between Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and this idiot, this Neanderthal from Florida. Of course, it's always a Florida man, isn't it? A guy named Ted Yoho. Ted Yoho.
Yoho, Yoho,
Yoho, Yoho.
Yoho, goodbye. Jed Yoho, thankfully, is not running for re-election. So we'll be rid of him one way or another. But he did something truly just uncouth this week. And there was a report in The Hill. A reporter from The Hill, who I've got a problem with anyway, and I'll tell you about that in a bit, heard what had happened, where Ted Yoho basically accosted Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on the steps of the Capitol as she was going into vote. In fact, you know what? Let me play for you AOC in her own words explaining just what happened. And she's telling this story on the floor of the House today, and I'll explain how we got there in just a minute. Let's just hear the first few minutes of AOC's, point of personal information, personal privilege earlier today in the House.
Following an incident earlier this week, about 2 days ago, I was walking up the steps of the Capitol when Representative Yoho, suddenly turned a corner, and he was accompanied by Representative Roger Williams, and accosted me on the steps right here in front of our nation's capital. I was minding my own business, walking up the steps, and Representative Yoho put his finger in my face. He called me disgusting. He called me crazy. He called me out of my mind. And he called me dangerous. And then he took a few more steps. And after I had recognized his comments as rude, he walked away and said, "I'm rude.
Yeah.
You're calling me rude."
Yeah.
I took a few steps ahead and I walked inside and cast my vote. Because my constituents send me here each and every day to fight for them and to make sure that they are able to keep a roof over their head, that they're able to feed their families, and that they're able to carry their lives with dignity. I walked back out, and there were reporters in the front of the Capitol, and in front of reporters, Representative Yoho called me, and I quote, "a fucking bitch."
Whoa.
These are the words that Representative Yoho levied against a congresswoman.
Yep.
The congresswoman that not only represents New York's 14th congressional district, but every congresswoman and every woman in this country, because all of us have had to deal with this in some form, some way, some shape, at some point in our lives.
Well, that's true. So there's the beginning of AOC's floor speech this morning. She was given an hour on the House floor for this point of personal privilege. And what she says later on is that she was going to let this whole thing go. Except yesterday, Ted Yoho, went on the floor of the House ostensibly to offer an apology. Except his apology was anything but an apology. In fact, oh, go figure, I have his so-called apology queued up right here and ready to go. Come on, Yoho.
Yoho,
take it away and apologize.
Mr. Speaker, I stand before you this morning to address the strife I injected into the already contentious Congress. I have worked with many members in this chamber over the past four terms, members on both sides of the aisle, and each of you know that I'm a man of my word. So let me take a moment to address this body. I rise to apologize for the abrupt manner of the conversation I had with my colleague from New York.
Apologize.
It is true that we disagree on policies and visions for America, but that does not mean we should be disrespectful.
Right.
Having been married for 45 years with two daughters, I'm very cognizant of my language.
Yeah.
The offensive name-calling words attributed to me by the press were never spoken to my colleagues.
What?
And if they were construed that way, I apologize for their misunderstanding.
Excuse me?
As my colleagues know, I'm passionate about those affected by poverty. My wife, Carolyn, and I started out together at the age of 19 with nothing.
Oh, please.
We did odd jobs. And we were on food stamps.
And what does this have to do with anything?
And for a time, it was mine.
Now he's crying?
That is why I know people in this country can still, with all its faults, rise up and succeed and not be encouraged to break the law. I will commit to each of you that I will conduct myself from a place of passion and understanding, that policy and political disagreement be vigorously debated with the knowledge that we approach the problems facing our nation with the betterment of the country in mind and the people we serve. I cannot apologize for my passion or for loving my God.
Oh, my God.
My family and my country. I yield back.
Oh, my God. So he yields back. And that is what he calls an apology? Now, I said I had a little problem with the publication The Hill. Let me share with you. So that was the apology, right? I get a lot of newsletters each morning. I get a lot of stuff. I read. I start at about 6 a.m. to put together my What's News segment. And one of the newsletters I get is from The Hill. And I just, if I can find this. Oh, come on. Did I lose it here? Please. So in their newsletter, if I can find it, I've got tons of news here to read to you, and tell me I was going to move it, and now I can't find it. Man, oh man, oh man. Oh, here it is. Okay, so here's how the Hill's newsletter covered it. It says, Representative Ted Yoho, R, Florida, apologized to Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez on Wednesday after The Hill reported a day earlier some disparaging remarks he made to the progressive lawmaker after votes on Monday night, including a reference to his colleague as a, quote, fucking bitch. Quote, I rise today to apologize for the abrupt manner of the conversation I had with my colleague from New York. It is true that we disagree on policies and visions for America, but that does not mean we should be disrespectful, Yoho said in a floor speech. Having been married for 45 years with two daughters, I'm very cognizant of my language, he continued. The offensive name-calling words attributed to me by the press were never spoken to my colleagues, and if they were construed that way, I apologize for the misunderstanding. That's what he said. The Hill then continues saying, however, Ocasio-Cortez, who represents parts of Queens and the Bronx, did not accept the apology. What apology? There was no fucking apology. It continues, arguing the Florida congressman is, quote, refusing responsibility for the reported comments. He is. And so I, of course, responded. I wrote not only to whoever writes this so-called newsletter for The Hill, but also to the editor of The Hill, saying, I'm a subscriber to your morning's newsletter and was appalled to read how you characterized Representative Yoho's non-apology and Representative Ocasio-Cortez's reaction to said non-apology. And then after their description, I wrote that I copied that section of the newsletter back in this email, and I said, that's how you characterize what happened? That was not an apology from Mr. Yoho. Therefore, there was nothing for Ms. Ocasio-Cortez to accept. I hope you will correct your horrible reporting and apologize for your mischaracterization of it. In case you were wondering, I haven't heard anything back from them yet. But let me share with you a little more of what AOC had to say.
So while I was not deeply hurt or offended by little comments that are made, when I was reflecting on this, I honestly thought that I was just going to pack it up and go home. It's just another day, right?
Right.
But then yesterday, Representative Yoho decided to come to the floor of the House of Representatives and make excuses for his behavior.
Yes, he did.
And that I could not let go. I could not allow my nieces. I could not allow the little girls that I go home to. I could not allow victims of verbal abuse and worse to see that excuse.
Good for her.
And to see our Congress accept it as legitimate and accept it as an apology. And to accept silence as a form of acceptance. I could not allow that to stand, which is why I am rising today to raise this point of personal privilege.
Good for her.
And I do not need Representative Yoho to apologize to me. Clearly, he does not want to. Clearly, when given the opportunity, he will not. And nope. I will not stay up late at night waiting for an apology from a man who has no remorse over calling women and using abusive language towards women.
So,
but what I do have issue with is using women, our wives, and daughters as shields and excuses for poor behavior.
There you go. And she's too classy to say it, but hey, yo-ho. I've got a little song for you, and that wasn't it. Hold on, I'm going to get my cursor up there. Here's the song for yo-ho. Everybody, sing along. Unbelievable. All right. We got to take a quick time out for the Progressive Voices Network to get some, commercials in. We'll be right back. Nicole Sandler on ProgressiveVoices.com.
Stay tuned or you're going to miss
the Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices Network.
Just stay tuned.
Thank you, Boca Brittany Summers. All right. So while they're in commercials, yes, they are. Let me tell you a little bit more of what's going on. You know, the orange moron has started up his, coronavirus task force briefings. However, he's doing it without any coronavirus experts or anybody else, for that matter, who knows what the hell they're talking about. Yeah, the second day in a row, Trump delivered a campaign speech disguised as a coronavirus task force update from the White House briefing room, though, again, appearing without a single task force member, medical expert, or anyone. What? My phone is ringing. Or anybody with half a brain. So, among other lies, Trump claimed that kids aren't really carriers of the virus. Seriously.
I understand that the children who go to school, then go back to home, they're with, some live with their grandparents, sure. That there's a real risk. Would you understand if some
schools... Well, they
schools...
do say that they don't transmit very easily. And
who they?
People are saying they don't transmit, and we're looking at that. We're studying, John, very hard, that particular subject, that they don't bring it home with them. Now, they don't catch it easily.
What
they
the
don't
hell
bring it home easily. And if they
about?
Do catch it, they get better fast. We're looking at that fact. That is a factor, and we're looking at that very strongly. We'll be reporting about that over the next week. Please.
Yeah. Tell that to the parents of the 9-year-old Florida girl who the Miami Herald today reports is the youngest coronavirus victim yet. She's the fifth minor killed by Florida's COVID-19 surge that Governor Ron death sentence has called a blip. A blip. Two others were two 11-year-olds, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old. But this moron says, kids don't spread it. No, there. You know what? Kids do spread it. Kids can spread it. You're just a miserable, uninformed piece of shit who's full of
bullshit.
Complete and utter. Oh,
bullshit.
Thank you. All right. This other part of the story, I want to wait until Progressive Voices gets back. So, you know what? Let's bring them back from the break. We'll do that and we'll say welcome back. Progressive Voices listeners. All right. I wanted you back for this part of the story because Trump appeared for another interview on, I know you're going to be shocked to hear it, but Fox, the Fox so-called news channel. And in it, he once again bragged about passing a cognitive test, then went into detail about how he amazed his doctors by remembering 5 words in order. Now, experts say the Montreal Cognitive Assessment Test, the name of which he couldn't remember, is supposed to be easy. It's not a measure of intelligence, but rather a way to look for signs of cognitive impairment. But Donald Trump on Sunday told Chris Wallace on Fox so-called news that the test gets very hard. And he made a similar claim to this guy, Dr. Mark Siegel, on Fox in an interview that aired last night.
I said to the doctor, it was Dr. Ronnie Jackson, I said, is there some kind of a test, an acuity test? And He said there actually is, and he named it, whatever it might be.
Whatever it might be.
And it was 30 or 35 questions. The first questions are very easy. The last questions are much more difficult, like a memory question. It's like you'll go person, woman, man, camera,
Oi.
TV.
Yeah.
So they say, could you repeat that?
Person,
so I say,
woman.
Yeah.
Like there's a difference between a person and a woman and a man.
Man, camera, TV. Okay, that's very good. If you get it in order, you get extra points. Okay, now he's asking you other questions.
Oh, God.
Other questions. And then 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes later, they say, remember the first question? Not the first, but the 10th question.
Oh, my God.
Give us that again. Can you do that again? And you go, person,
Oy.
Woman, man, camera, TV. If you get it in order, you get extra points.
Oh, my God. No, you don't get extra points. I read something today from a mental health practitioner who works with this test regularly, and it said there are no extra points. Nobody giving you that that test is going to comment on your performance on it. Donald Trump lies about every fucking thing. And do you notice he mentioned who the doctor was who gave him the test? Ronnie Jackson, that was the former White House physician who was run out of D.C. on a rail, and he's now running for Congress in Texas. He's the guy who members of the media said would go up and down Air Force One handing out sleeping pills and stay awake pills like they're candy. They called him the Candy Man. Yeah, he's also the one who said that Donald Trump, you know, weighed 238 pounds and was in excellent shape and could live to some ridiculous age. Well, Dr. Ronnie Jackson is a moron. So there you have it. All right. There's some other news. What else do I want to share with you? Oh, there's tons of it. So I do implore you to check out today's What's News segment. You can hear it throughout the day on Progressive Voices at the top of the hour. Occasionally. And or you can go to NicoleSandler.com, click on What's News. And it's a new report every day. Or if you follow me on Facebook or Twitter at Nicole Sandler, I tweet it out every day as well. And then that's an extended version because days like today, there's a lot of news. For instance, Michael Cohen, remember him? Well, there was a teleconference today, a telehearing, I suppose. There were about 100 people on the line. And right from the start, the judge in the case asserted that it was his understanding that Cohen and his attorney were never given a chance to negotiate their objections to the terms of the agreement by which he was returned to prison, in case I skipped over it. But Michael Cohen last week was summarily like picked up and thrown back in the brig. The word is now, I mistakenly thought it was because he went out to dinner. That's what I reported on this program. And I was wrong. I apologize for that. But that's what it seemed. But below the surface, it's a little more sinister than that, because apparently the White House got wind of the fact that Michael Cohen is planning on writing a tell-all book. And this was their attempt, again, at prior restraint, at shutting him up. And so the judge said, I've never seen such a clause in 21 years of being a judge of the home confinement agreement drafted by the probation office for Michael Cohen. Let's see. These are all from tweets from a reporter who was on the call, so they're a little grammatically incorrect. He may be confined to his own home, but he remains a prisoner in his home, the judge said, opening a conversation with Cohen's attorney about the contours of restraints and what he should be allowed to do in home confinement. He may be confined to his... Oh, I read that. And then the breaking news... Judge Hellerstein finds that the purpose of the first clause of Michael Cohen's agreement was to interfere with his First Amendment rights. Hellerstein framed that finding in the form of a double negative. He cannot fairly find that the clause was not intended to interfere with Cohen's First Amendment rights. Quote, that's my finding, he added. And Michael Cohen will be back home to serve out the remainder of his sentence under basically house arrest. By tomorrow afternoon. Yeah, there's so much more. There's more on Trump's secret police, which we know are still wreaking havoc in Portland, and actually pepper sprayed the mayor last night. So that happened. Oh, and then there's the what else? There was something else that happened in. Oh, and then there's Trump sending his Gestapo troops to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and Chicago, Illinois. This is a problem, my friends. Really, a really big problem. And we're gonna discuss this further at length tomorrow when our old friend Dave Johnson joins us. It's been a while since Dave Johnson has been on the show, and he's actually posted about this. So we'll get Dave on tomorrow, and we'll go further in depth into that. But for now, well, you know what time it is, right? It is Thursday. That means time to break out the Dirty Debbies.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 oranges. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hi, Howie Klein.
Hey, Nicole. I was just like talking to one of the people who contributes a lot of money to Blue America candidates.
Mm-hmm.
And she was upset because one of the candidates who focuses on you know, domestic issues has mentioned that he is in favor of equal treatment for Palestinians and Israelis.
Okay, that's a good thing, isn't it?
I would say it's a good thing, too.
Yeah.
But the candidate was upset. Why do you think the candidate was upset?
Wait, the candidate was upset or the donor was upset?
I'm sorry, the contributor was upset.
The contributor was upset because they believe Chuck Schumer's line on Israel that, you know, the Israelis can do no wrong and the Palestinians are bad.
The opposite.
Because they think that the Palestinians are good and the Israelis can do no right.
Yes.
Wow.
In other words, the contributor was upset because the contributor wanted the candidate to be just outright anti-Israeli, not equal, not, you know, it was just like, it was just a very, very, very far left position that shocked me.
Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I hate using terms like far left and far right, but there are some people on the left who are so far to the left that they come all the way around and meet the right wingers on their side.
And I don't even know if that's even left.
Yeah,
anyway,
no, it's not.
I mean,
it's not.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It is weird. Look, Israel is a tough subject because people are very passionate about it. There's that word. And for Jewish Americans like me, I describe myself regularly as I'm an atheist Jew. I'm Jewish by family and tradition, though I don't practice any religion. But I that's my heritage, I have great respect for my forebears, and I know what they went through, and I know what the Jews historically have gone through. And do I believe Israel has a right to exist? Yes. Do I wish Netanyahu was not their president and they were more progressive like they were some years ago? Absolutely. Do I, you know, I hate everything their government stands for today, but then again, I hate what our government stands for today. So,
yep.
Yeah. And I believe the Palestinians are being kept in an open air prison on Gaza. And I think that the whole situation is fucked up. And I believe in human rights. You know, this is interesting in that Donald Trump and Mike Pompeo, actually Mike Pompeo, Secretary of State, the other day, there was a story that said that Mike Pompeo wants to clarify that the United States does not have to defend all human rights, only some human rights. And you know whose human rights he doesn't want to defend as a government?
The Palestinians.
No, actually, the LGBTQ community.
Oh, well, that goes without saying.
Right. But I'm sure the Palestinians are in there, too. It's just that was the headline. It's like, holy shit. You know what? I have as much disdain for this government as I do for Netanyahu's government in Israel. This just means we need a progressive uprising around the planet.
So, yep. Yeah. Well, maybe it's starting.
I certainly hope so. So, Howie Klein, I owe you an apology, and I already apologized to the listeners. We should have had a guest on today, Adam Christensen, who is running for Congress from Florida's 3rd District, which is where Ted Yoho sits today. Now, thankfully, he's not running for re-election because he knows he can't win, I guess.
Don't worry, because he has a clone running.
Does.
In other words, he has Ted Yahoo Jr. running, a clown named Sapp. What's his first name again? It's one of those crazy names that with a J. Like, it's not Justin. Oh, Judson.
Judson
Sapp.
Judson.
And my apologies to anyone named Judson. I don't mean to offend anybody.
Judson Sapp. Hey. Okay.
Judson Sapp.
But Yoho.
Failed Hollywood actor.
Oh, really? Failed Hollywood actor, huh? But Yoho. Sorry, sometimes that chorus just appears out of nowhere when I say Yoho. Anyway, Yoho has declined to endorse anybody in the race, apparently. So,
well, I think there's a whole lot of Republicans running, and I'm surprised he isn't, because I know why. Sapp ran against him in the past, and Sapp was to primary him, and Sapp's father is very, very rich and spent a huge amount of money smearing Yoho. I forgot about that.
Well, there you go. And Yoho is easy to smear. Yeah, so.
Right, but he wasn't smearing Yoho in the way that we would. He was smearing Yoho for not being crazy and right-wing enough.
Of course he was. Oy. But anyway, so you had emailed me on Monday and said, let's get Adam Christensen on. He's a great progressive candidate. Let's talk to him. And you sent me two email addresses. One was his personal email address and the other one was to his office. And I thought, well, I'll just send to his personal one. Well, of course, he never saw that. So when we finally connected this morning, he's like, well, this Yoho story blew up and we didn't hear back from you guys. So my press office, my press guy set up a ton of interviews today because everyone wants to talk about Yoho. So he's going to join us next week. But, my fault.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's a lot more to Adam than Yoho.
Of course.
I mean, the Yoho thing was just that just happened to happen.
Right.
Adam is a really extraordinary candidate. I mean, just to give you an idea, I very rarely get this response from Alan Grayson. I introduced the two of them, and after the call, Alan called me and said, wow, that guy is really smart. And we're talking about Alan Grayson, who has 4 degrees from Harvard.
Right.
So he knows what really smart is.
Okay.
And he doesn't just use it lightly.
Well, good. No, he sounds great. And actually, you know, we were, you know, just missing each other. And finally, he just called me today and we realized we got our wires crossed. And I apologized. And I apologize to you, too, because it would have been cool to have him on today. Just know we were thinking about it before the story even broke. So, you know, it's just one of those coincidences. But he is a great candidate.
Right. I told him about the story. I mean, he didn't know about it. Now, I saw it way early in the morning, and I said, oh, this is going to be a good one for you. And I didn't hear from him for 24 hours.
Yeah, because his phone's been ringing off the hook. But what a reprehensible piece of shit Ted Yoho is.
Yoho!
Sorry, again.
He isn't always.
I'm sorry?
He is, and he always has been. Although I will say that the guy who's running for the seat, the Republican that's running for the seat, who's going to get the nomination, this guy Judson Sapp, is worse.
Really?
Now, it's hard to be worse than Ted Yoho. Like, I think there were, I don't know, either 2 or 4 people who voted against making lynching a federal crime, and
oh,
Yoho is one of them.
God.
Said, Sapp is worse.
Wow. Well, that's saying a lot. God, yeah. Unbelievable. So Howie Klein, there's a whole, I mean, the AOC's speech this morning, I got to say, was brilliant. I'm constantly impressed with her. And the way she handled herself was just so spot on. I mean, I played a good portion of her opening remarks in the beginning, the first part of the show. But then what happened was, members of the Democratic caucus came up and spoke on her behalf. She had an hour on the floor. I didn't see the whole thing, but it was a big cross section of her Democratic colleagues all standing up for her. And she didn't make it about her. She made this about women and how men do this to women, how men demean women. And how it's not okay. And she realized she needed to speak up when he tried to hide behind his wife and children in his non-apology yesterday, which I found really insulting.
Exactly. I agree.
Yeah.
And she was great. Absolutely wonderful.
Right. And she even said, I was going to let it go. And she had been asked to comment on it by members of the media. And she didn't. She wouldn't even say no. Yes. She wouldn't confirm that he called her a fucking bitch until he denied saying it. And then she's like, OK, enough of this shit. Sorry, you're going to get what's coming to you. And she gave it to him. And it was beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very, very talented politician. I absolutely hope she winds up taking on Chuck Schumer.
I hope so, too. So, Howie Klein, so here we are. We're still in the middle of this pandemic. We are Donald Trump has begun. he started up his White House. Ostensibly the coronavirus briefings, task force briefings, but he's alone there on the stage. Does he, are people really, I guess his followers listen to him, they defend him, but who could in their right mind could possibly be listening to his shit now? Do you know, could you repeat, person, woman, man, camera, TV?
In order, you get extra points.
In order, you get extra points.
Oh, God. That was sick.
It really is. It really is. So I'm looking at downwithtyranny.com, which is obviously where you blog. And the top story you have there right now is traitor in the White House or just a doofus? Do you think, I mean, in listening to him in recent times, do you think he really is trying to win re-election, or is he trying to sabotage himself?
You know, he definitely wants to win re-election, no question about it. But he can't help but sabotage himself. That's how he is, and it's not going over. It might have gone over if things weren't as bad as they are now. But things are getting very real, very fast.
Yeah, they are.
You know, people who were thinking, well, Hillary's terrible, are, you know, overlooking that.
There's breaking news, Howie Klein. Oh, my goodness. Good. You know how Trump moved the Republican National Convention from North Carolina to Jacksonville because North Carolina's governor wasn't going to let him flaunt the masking and social distancing rules because we have a pandemic going on. And Trump has been, and Jacksonville's police chief last week said, I can't protect this convention. I don't have a budget. I don't even have any definite plans of what's going on. We're 40 days out. How do you expect me to do this? I can't guarantee I can protect them. Well, today, here's the breaking news. Donald Trump announced he was canceling the Republican National Convention events set to be held in Jacksonville, Florida next month as the state continues to grapple with the surge in coronavirus cases. Quote, I told my team it's time to cancel the Jacksonville, Florida component of the GOP convention. Trump said in a coronavirus briefing at the White House, explaining that it's just not the right time to hold a big crowded convention. Oh, please. There are no words. And again, it's astounding. It's astounding, but you have these Republicans still defending him. You have them not challenging him. You have people like Joni Ernst saying that if, God forbid, something happens and a Supreme Court seat opens up, even during a lame duck session, that they would vote
not
to...
Just Joni Ernst, all of them.
All of them.
All of them.
So if Trump loses November 3rd, and then they're in the lame duck period between November 4th and January 20th, when Joe Biden would be inaugurated, they're saying that if, God forbid, something happens and a Supreme Court seat opens, they would move to replace that justice with a Donald Trump nominee.
Yep. That's what they're saying.
That's astounding. And then... And Howie, I don't know how much you've written about this. The thing with Trump's Gestapo, the secret police, invading Portland and I guess Kansas City. And now today he announces they're going into Albuquerque and Chicago as well. This is not
Albuquerque. The one from Albuquerque.
I don't know. I guess there are protests in Albuquerque, but he's sending his thugs, his troops to Albuquerque.
Out.
Yeah,
that is weird.
It really is. I just don't get it. There was so much news today that I didn't have a chance to get to. Did you hear just the other day the House passed the National Defense Authorization Act that had the provision in it that says that they're going to change the names of any army or military bases that are named for Confederate figures. Today, the Senate voted on it, and they, too, passed it, also by a veto-proof majority. Trump has threatened to veto the NDAA because of that provision. Both chambers, although they passed different bills, so they still have to conference on it. But as of now, both houses have veto-proof majorities to pass this thing. Now, I wouldn't normally cheer for the NDAA, but because it goes against Trump and his wanting, to keep those Confederate named bases as they are, this might be one of the first cracks where Republicans are saying, you know what, you're wrong on this one.
Yeah, but, it would have been nicer for them to just vote on changing the names of the bases.
Yes, they could have done that separately.
Which would have been, which maybe wouldn't have passed, but it's not worth it to get the bases changed, to get the names.
Yeah.
I mean, I obviously see the names changed,
right?
But it's not worth what this bloated, disgusting, horrific bill. This defense budget is terrible.
It is terrible.
I shouldn't call it war budget.
Right. And there was a vote, I think it was yesterday, on a 10% cut of the defense budget, of the military, of the war budget.
The House voted the day before and then the Senate voted yesterday.
Right. And the Senate, there was something like 28 or thereabout senators who voted for it. And I found it kind of curious that one of the people who voted for it was, what's her name, Kamala Harris, who wants to be vice president. She voted against the 10% cut.
Exactly. Yeah, I tweeted about that right after it happened, pointing out, she was never a progressive in her whole life. She had never a progressive bone in her body. And she was just playing one on TV when she thought that that would help her to win the presidential nomination. Now that she's playing for a different audience and trying to get whoever picks Biden's VP to pick her, she's trying to do what she thinks Biden will like.
Oh, yeah, it's, that's always the wrong approach to take. I'm sorry. When you give the answers you think is what the person you're trying to impress wants to hear, it's never a good sign. That's just not good. Do you have a preference for who he chooses as VP, Howie?
Well, yeah. I mean, of the people who have been named by him, I would like to see Elizabeth Warren. I think she would be a good VP. And, there are no choices, really. I mean, all of the other people are just pretty dreadful. There's a couple that I don't think are horrible, they're not good. And then most of them are just really horrible.
Yeah.
If it was up to me, and even if the parameter was it has to be a woman, so, that let that half the population,
mm-hmm.
I would Barbara Lee. I think
would be amazing, but she's not even on his list.
No, she's not.
Right. That tells you a lot.
Down his list,
I'd say Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, that would be my choice, too. And I'm hearing that at least she's advising him regularly. Are you hearing that as well?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't know what that means.
Right. Well, it's also like that unity thing, the paper, the project that Bernie Sanders allegedly worked with him on it. And they have all these different areas, one area on green issues AOC was involved with. I mean, is that at all encouraging to you? Do you think Biden is at all coming over to our side on at least some issues?
No.
No. All right. Okay. All right. Well, I'm trying to be hopeful here.
It's no answer.
Yeah, I know.
I don't. I mean, Biden is who Biden is. He's been in politics since the 70s, and he's not going to. You know, he might change what he says, but he's not going to change who he is and what he is and what he believes in.
Right. Yeah. I'm just thinking I don't know. I'm trying to hope for the best. I know how much we need to get Trump out of there. And these Republicans, I mean, I still have an issue with the Never Trumpers. I do like seeing so many of them saying it's not only Trump. We need to get rid of all of these senators who have enabled him. We need to flip the Senate to the Democrats. That's encouraging, at least. Then I know we're going to have to fight them going down the line. But at least for now, having them on board to get rid of these obstructionists is, I guess, a positive.
Yeah, I agree. But that's, you know, I mean, it's sort of a, I mean, the Senate that Chuck Schumer has set, the table that he has set for the Senate is going to be a Democratic-controlled Senate where all of the power lies with conservatives. Mm-hmm. They've gotten rid of every progressive that was trying to run, and they have instead they have a whole bunch of people just like Kyrsten Sinema.
Yep. No, it's true.
There's no one like Elizabeth Warren.
Nope.
Yeah, there's no one like Jeff Merkley. It's just one awful candidate after another. They are all vomit. They are vomit. He could not have found worse people to run. Ugh. And it's state after state after state. It's just all garbage.
That's depressing.
I mean, I should say there's one guy, and he's a conservative. He's not a progressive. Who doesn't fit into the pile of vomit that most of them are, and that would be Steve Bullock, the governor of Montana.
Right.
He's okay. I mean, there was no one who was going to be better who was running that was viable.
Right.
So that was okay. But, you know, we could have had good candidates in Georgia. We could have had a good candidate in Arizona.
Yep.
There could have been obviously a good candidate in Kentucky. But, you know, nope. Schumer wanted his crap just one after the other.
Yep.
He got him.
Yep. You know, you sent me a column you have going up at downwithtyranny.com in about 8 minutes, as soon as we get off the air. And it has to do
it's going up at the 5 o'clock column.
Ah, okay. So in a few hours. But it's another one of these bills that passed the House yesterday. And it has to do with monuments to, you know, bad figures from American history. And this one, you say, H.R. 7573, which directs the architect of the Capitol to replace the bust of Roger Brooke Taney with a bust of Thurgood Marshall. Taney was a bad Supreme Court justice, and this makes sense. But again, you list a bunch of Republicans who voted against this, including Ted Yoho.
Right, the one who I picked out to list is against it. I mean, most Republicans voted against it. It wasn't just that small list.
Uh-huh.
The small list are all people who Blue America candidates are running against. That's the only reason.
Oh, I see. So you've got candidates running in Georgia, California, West Virginia, Missouri, Texas, and Florida.
That's right. But a majority, although the minority leader, Kevin McCarthy, and the minority whip, Steve Scalise, they both voted for it. So a sizable number of Republicans did vote for the bill, but most Republicans voted against it. There was a majority of Republicans against it. It passed overwhelmingly.
Yeah, 113 Republicans voted against it, but 72 voted for it. So yeah. I think
good number of Republicans to vote for anything good. It almost never happens.
Right.
And I don't remember the time it happened.
But isn't this a matter of public sentiment, you know, that they're reading the writing on the wall and seeing where our heads
some
are?
Some of them. Yeah, some of them are. Some of them aren't. Some of them can't. But a lot of Americans don't know who Taney was.
No.
But he wasn't just a bad Supreme Court justice. He was the fifth Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He was in there for decades and decades and decades. He didn't leave until he was dead after he had been senile for some time. And he wrote the Dred Scott ruling, which is considered pretty widely to be the worst Supreme Court ruling in history. And when you think of that, I mean, there have been a lot of really bad Supreme Court rulings. This one was the single worst. And it was meant to enshrine slavery as part of the United States forever. That was the reason he wrote it, to do that. And, you know, he has gone down in history as the worst Chief Justice ever. And why should his bust be there every time a black member of Congress would walk by? They would see this guy who said specifically that black people are inherently inferior and it will never be anything but inferior, and they're not fit to be in contact with white people except as slaves.
Right.
This was in a Supreme Court ruling that he wrote. And why should that guy be? And you know, they also banned not just him, but anyone who ever took up arms against the United States or who is, you know, anyone who is a traitor. They don't want any of their statues. See, the way it works in with the statues in Congress is that every state is allowed to contribute two statues.
Right.
So it really hasn't been up to Congress. It's been up to each state. And, of course, all the southern states gave all these, like, you know, Confederate and Ku Klux Klan people. Literally, I mean, they were all these grand dragons of the Ku Klux Klan. And, you know, Pelosi has moved some of them into places where no one goes, like basically, like, you know, the storage closet, something called the crypt. She's put them where people won't see them, some of them, but some of them, like Taney's, were very prominently displayed.
Mm-hmm.
And people, let's get the hell rid of them. And not even the states really have argued. I mean, I noticed that before they even passed this thing, Arkansas already said to send back some KKK member that they had given years and years, you know, decades ago.
Right.
And they just replace it with, I'm forgetting. Like Little Richard, but it wasn't Little Richard, but it was someone, it's in the story.
Okay.
But I can't remember which position it was, but it was some great, iconic African-American musician, one of the forefathers of rock and roll.
Well,
and that was a decision of the state of Arkansas, which has a Republican.
Yeah. Well, you know, hopefully the law start coming around. Unfortunately, even if, you know, the Mitch McConnell favors leaving the selection up to the states, which two of their busts or monuments they want to send. We need to get Mitch McConnell out of there. And I know Amy McGrath is far from ideal, but I'd rather see her than him. And I guess we'll look at it as baby steps and try to unseat her next time.
I don't know. I mean, you know, we'll see if she's how terrible she is if she gets in. I mean, even I would vote for her. You know, as you know, I'm not going to vote for Biden.
Right.
If we're living in Kentucky. I would vote for Amy McGrath.
Cool. All right.
And my nose doing it.
Always.
But it's all about Mitch McConnell.
Yeah. Oh, my God. He is the worst. We just need to get him out of there. So, well, we've got less than, 4 months till the election. It's whether or not we can hold on until then, because Trump and his cronies are systematically destroying what's left of this country. And on that positive, upbeat note, Howie Klein, we're out of time for the hour. Next week, next Thursday, Adam Christensen, who is running to fill Yoho's seat, will be with us. He is a Blue America endorsed candidate, and we'll talk to him. In the meantime, as always, thank you, Howie Klein.
Okay, I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, tomorrow we'll get into the whole secret police Gestapo thing that's happening, because this can't end well. Thank you for listening, everyone. Until next time, I'm Nicole Sandler. Stay safe. Bye.